even, I think, even Chazer over. Certainly not in the detailed way, the hachokis of Nida. So, I think initially we were thinking of doing it maybe for two nights, but be that as it may, it's one night, so I had to choose to some degree between halachas that are, I chose on the basis of things that are more negei lamaisa, or certainly more negei lamaisa for people if they may be having had a child and needing a review and so on and so forth. So there's really one area that I think that I'm probably not going to do justice to, which is the halachas of B'nai Geya, serving food and so on, and hekar. We spoke about that once a few years ago, not in a detailed way, but only because there's such a massive material over there and so many details regarding it. Every food is almost, in every situation really, requires a different halacha. So I sort of left that out only to the extent that it will be negeya, things that are routinely negeya, like Kiddush and Hamaitzi and so on. So that's something that's negeya every week, and I think the vast majority of the shaylos are regarding that. All right, so before we start, of course we have to start with the Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph says, just to put our words in context, Gemara brings the Tana Deve Eliyahu, Ma'aseh B'Talmud Echad, I'll just read it quickly, Ma'aseh B'Talmud Echad, Shoshana Harbe V'Kara Harbe, V'Shimesh Talmid HaChomim Harbe U'Meis B'Chatzi Yama. So he learned in Mikra Mishnah and Gemara, Shimesh Talmid HaChomim Harbe, and he was Nebuch Nifte B'Chatzi Yama, V'Haseh Ishtein Netelos Tefila V'Mavzeatam V'Bati Knesiyos V'Bati Midrashos. She was going around with his tefillin, V'Amru Lahem. And she was saying to the Talmid HaChachamim, "Ksiv v'Torah ki yul chayecha v'aruch yamecha." It says that the Torah is the prescription, is the samachayim, is ba'ali shoshana harbe v'kara harbe v'shimish talmid chachamim harbe mleima meis b'chatzi yamav. So why? How could it be that ba'ali was meis b'chatzi yamav? Lo haya adam machzira davar. And no one. It doesn't say that nobody knew the answer, but it says that nobody wanted to take a stab at it. Nobody wanted to, you see what the answer is. It's obviously not the easiest thing to tell this poor woman. So, it sounds like nobody wanted to say anything. So, Tana Belio says that, Nisarachti etzla v'haysa, Mesicha kol oysa ma'ayra v'yamarti lo. So he asked her first, whether they were together, and she said, "Chas v'shalom," of course not. And then he said, in the times that she was attempting to become tar, but she was still technically a nida, in those times, what was your hanhoga between you? And she said that they used to eat and drink together, which is the source of the halachis that one's not supposed to, the halachis of eating and drinking and so on. And not only that, but yashin imi b'kiruv basa. They would be sleeping together, not entirely clear, it's different lashonis, whether they were clothed or not clothed, but regardless, certainly as it's kapaskin in Shulchan Aruch, that's certainly a halacha midrabanan, it is midrabanan, well, if it's clothes on, it's certainly midrabanan. If the clothes are not on, so then the sleeping together in one bed, according to the Rambam, might very well be an issur d'oraisa of a sikru l'galus erev. According to the Ramban, it's only an issur d'rabanan. But regardless, it says, v'lo also da'ite al davar acher, but he behaved himself completely. And nonetheless, v'amarti lo, Eliyahu said, baruch hamokim shehargoy, shalei nosit ponim l'toyra. It doesn't say that he didn't keep the Torah. The Ramban is one of the Ramban's rayas that that other than actual bia of anida, chiba, dvarim shel chiba, like nishuk, and chibuk and nishuk, according to the Ramban, is only also midrabanan. And one of his rayas is because Eliyahu said, shalai nasa panim l'Torah. Because he said that he wasn't nasa panim means he didn't give cover to the Torah. Give cover to the Torah sounds like it's less than an actual daraisa. In some, in the Elio Rab, if you look there, the Nusach, the Girsa is, not Shalai Nusach upon the Betoida, but you can answer for the Rambam, because there the Girsa is, that what it means to say is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not Nusach upon him, did not show favoritism for those that learned Torah. Shalai Nusach upon the Torah doesn't mean that he didn't give cover to the Torah, which would indicate you're talking about an Issa Drabam. It means Shalai Nusach upon him, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not show favoritism even for somebody that learned so much Mikra, Mishnah, and so on. It might have been an Issa D'Oraisa, according to the Rambam, but the point over here is there should have been some Erech HaPayim, maybe you would think, for somebody who was such a big Talmud Chacham. Nonetheless, it says, Shalai Nusach upon him, V'Torah, Shari Amr Torah, V'Elisha, B'Nidas Tumas, V'Leisich. This is the Gemara that discusses, again, at the very least, the Issa D'Rabbanan, if not in Issa D'Oraisa, according to the Rambam, of Elisha V'Nidas Tumas, V'Leisich. According to the Ramban, it's maybe an Issa D'Rabbanan, but regardless, we know that the Rabbanan, the Rabbeinu Yonah, brings down, I'll just say by way of Hakdama, by way of introduction, Shari Tshuvah, Rabbeinu Yonah says in Shar Shlishi, that Oy Gomer Rabbi Seinu Zichronim Levrocha, Chaviv and Divrei Seifrim Yoysim Yayna Shal Taira. He says that Divrei Seifrim are more chamav, are more chavav, more dear to the Rabbeinu Shal Olam, and should be to us more so than Divrei Taira. And he goes on and explains, because the idea of Divrei Seifrim is that they're an expression, a reflection of Yirah Shemayim. Because a person, when he doesn't do what it says expressly in the Torah, so that doesn't necessarily show Yirah Shemayim as much, certainly, as when a person doesn't want to even get near, because he doesn't want to even do something that could come to lead him to be Oiva and Issa, like really what we're discussing, all the Yisurim of Harchakis, Harchakis Nida, are really no more and no less than really a key mitzvah sasei of Es Hashem Alekecha Tira. It's really, we can look at it, and it's sometimes harder to fulfill when you feel like you're not doing this, not doing that. Everything is, it's very negative in the sense that you're not doing this, you're not being Oiva on this, Lois Hasei, Midraban, and so on and so forth. The way to really appreciate it more, and the way to view it, is to, from the perspective of the Rabbeinu Yonah that says, Kitayvim Daidecha Chavivim Divrei Seifrim Yoysim Yenesh Shel Torah, those of us who are married and Baruch Hashem in a position that we're able on a daily basis, or certainly on a weekly basis, to perform what it says in the Torah, Va'ata Yisrael Ma Hashem Alekecha Shoyal Me'imach Chiyim Le'ira, that the Rabbeinu Shalom says, Hakol B'day Shemayim, Chutz Me'ira Shemayim, really other than displaying and acting with Yira Shemayim, being misnag with Yira Shemayim, is really the yisoid of all the mitzvahs in the Torah. And so Harchokis is really on a daily basis. I don't know that you have any other really significant Harchokis other than, of course, on Shabbos, but on a daily basis that you have in almost anything that you're going to do, Ben Ish Le'ishta, if it's in terms of the eating or on approaching or in we, how you're sitting and how you're standing and how you're traveling, in almost every form, at least in almost 2 weeks out of a month, that there are, under ordinary circumstances, there are Zekiyah mitzvah of Es Hashem Alekecha Tira, like it says in the Torah, Ma Hashem Alekecha Shoyal Me'imach Kiyim Le'ira. So this is, I think, really something that should spur us on, so even beyond the Shia, again, I'm going to review the Rosh HaKrokim and some detailed halachas, but beyond that, we don't have such opportunities. You go through life, and for decades, you have an opportunity to be Mekayim Yir Shemayim in a way, Chavivim Devei Torah Yoseh, Chavivim Devei Seifim Yoseh 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 Torah. So it should really lead us to become Bekiyim, and if not in all the intricacies, but certainly in all the aspects of the halachas that will become the geos. Okay, before we get to actual details of halachas, there's a curious phenomenon regarding the halachas, which is that we know that midairaisa there's an issa yichud. Certainly under certain circumstances there's an issa, the ari sura yichud, not to be alone with a woman who an erva midairaisa. Now that halacha, we know, obviously does not apply to the Erev of Ishtay Nida. That's the exception to all the other illicit relationships that a person is not supposed to be closeted or alone together with a woman, obviously Ishtanida does not have that. Is, you know, we come to take that for granted, but it didn't need to be that way. I mean, the Torah could have asked that as well. And the reason why that is not us, or the reason why that's mutter, is one of two things it says in the Rishonim, and halacha lemaisa, we assume that you need both of these conditions to be met in order for a person to be alone with his wife and neither. And the two conditions are that they already have had bia, meaning as opposed to a chuppas nida, somebody where they have not yet had a nida, where it's in fact is an issue, is a problem. And also that they will be subject to, they are mutter and will in fact have bia again in the future, which sometimes you won't have that in a case where an isha is chas v'shalom is mezana, where she becomes asa to her husband. Under those circumstances, even though they once had bia, because they're never going to have yet again, at least it will be asa for them too. So under those circumstances, the yichud is asa, the husband with wife, even though some argue that maybe you shouldn't say it's asa, because the last thing he probably wants to do is to have bia with his wife, having she having the mezana. But regardless, the halacha is that absent any one of these two conditions, meaning that they have, you need the fact that they have previously had bia and will in the future, it's mutter for them and they will have bia in the future. So we know that, which is to say, on the 99% of the circumstances, bia yichud is mutter b'ishtayni. Now at the same time, we find that the reverse, the opposite din is found regarding our chokas. That our chokas, ishtanida, is the only one of the arayas that Chazal, as we see in the Tana Devel, Yo, La Yoichal Ima, La Yishta Ima, none of these things, of course, are found in Igeya, any other arayas, other than ishtanida. And so, there's a sort of like a problem over here. It seems to be a contradiction. If you assume that the reason why there's no yichud is for the reasons that we meant, that there's no issa yichud, is for the reasons that we mentioned, because it's not libay gaspa as much, because he's already had a heter bia with her, and he will have, so it's something which is not something which is a mayim genuvim, it's something which is a pasta salad. So then you should, one would think that you would say the same logic regarding achokas. And if anything, the achokas should apply more with women, with strange women, not the ishtanida, but rather with other women. If on the other hand you do find achokas, it would seem to be because it is libe gaspa, and you'll come more to intimacy, and when you shouldn't, when she's in nida. So then why is it that the yichud is permitted? So there are essentially two understandings of this. We'll just go through it quickly again, because this is not so much halacha lemaisa, but I think it's important to understand, just to get a context of what we're talking here, these halachas. The Plaisy, the crazy Plaisy, says a very reasonable teretz here. Not for me to say, but it certainly makes, not only he says it, but it makes a lot of sense. He says we're really viewing it improperly. The correct way to view it is we have to look at it from the opposite perspective. The Torah came along first and permitted yichud v'ishtanida. That happened first. That's min haTorah. Having said that, because the Torah permitted yichud, so now Chazal had to come along and put up these harchokis and these shmiras, because somebody is already permitted. He's in close confines. He's together with his wife, ishtanida, often. And beheta. And so in order to sort of balance out that intimacy, at least that they're able to live, be together, and even to sleep in the same room together, that's precisely why the Rabbanan saw fit to dafka be'ishtanida, to say that there are achokis, that we need to sort of counteract that, so to speak, by they shouldn't be served, one shouldn't serve the other, they shouldn't be on the same bed together, and so on and so forth, things which were not necessary by any other woman. Because b'lav hachi, what's going to happen? If they're intimate, you say that, when I say intimate, sometimes I don't mean an act of intimacy. I mean that lo yoichal ima da achokis. Worst comes to worst, they'll do the achokis, but there still isn't issa nida. So there's always that safety net that they're not supposed to be together in the first place. So the Naila, even assuming that she serves him or she makes his bed or whatever, he passes her the Kiddush, whatever it is, but to Yichud, it's never going to come because that's a Balav Hachi, that's something that the Torah asked. So that's why we don't, it was not necessary in the Rabbanon to be Misakin Gedarim of Achokis by anybody other than a wife. Actually, it's interesting. I mean, this much you do see from the Plaisi, that he seems to be assuming that, and it seems to be borne out in the Paiskim as well, that when we talk about Achokis, we're not necessarily talking about what's going to happen to Shas Maisa. Like you said, that you shouldn't serve, let's say, the woman or the husband, for that matter, they shouldn't serve each other food. It doesn't mean that it's something which will lead to intimacy, b'shas ma'aseh, necessarily. It will be something, because if that's the case, then the chiluk that he's saying is not necessarily a good chiluk, it's not a good enough kamina. But it seems that the ikar problem might lie even hours later. It doesn't mean if he serves her now, the problem might be hours later. But if there's an issa yichud, as there are, by all other nashim, so that even worse comes to worse, you go through all the motions of this intimate behavior, but when push comes to shove, there's never going to be an issa yichud, so there's nothing to worry about. The other approach over here that we can take, and this is Mashman, the Rashba says that the reason why we have Achokis is because by an Isha, Ishta Nida is Liba Gaspa. It means that he's sort of more comfortable and more used to being around her, and he's also more alu to being aroused than to be intimate with her. So the according to this explanation, it would seem that the difference is that a lot of these things, Yichud, of course, is not a problem to Ishtay Nida, because Yichud is an issue of access and availability, basically. Yichud is to say that if you're with her together, alone, then something may happen. But somebody who's together with his wife, like we said, yesterday they had Bia, and tomorrow they'll have Bia, so the fact that they're being misyachad with each other, meaning that there's increased availability and access one to the other, that in and of itself is not going to bring Lidei Issa. That's why by a husband and wife, there's no problem of Yichud. On the other hand, the issues of Hachokis are things that are predicated basically on there being a relationship, a close, intimate relationship of a husband and a wife. That means if I was to pass or serve a strange woman food, that Be'etzem inherently does not carry within it any feeling of intimacy or of closeness of a relationship as it does in a wife that you're together with and to begin with your husband and wife. And so these things inherently, like harchokis, most of them, sitting together in a car, so on and so forth, of course, it's not yichud per se, but if they're yichud, so then you're not able to do it with a strange woman as well. But even in cases where it's not yichud, but where the seat is moving or whatever the case may be, it says if you're on the same bench as your wife and you sit down and she moves, so that puts feelings of kiruv das and so on in your mind. That might not actually be applicable by a strange woman. You wouldn't even think in those terms because it's not lead by gospel according to the Rashba. It's only once you have that foundation that you say of a closeness and a relationship. So in those, with as you do a husband and a wife, so with those people serving, eating leftovers and so on, the person eats a strange woman's leftovers, it would never occur to him possibly that there's a kiruv hadas, that we have something in common here. If the only thing that's keeping you apart is because she's a nida now, and yesterday you had bia, and tomorrow you'll also have bia, and it's just a question of today, so in the here and now, we say that sharing certain proximity or certain dishes and so on and so forth in such a woman is be'ishta nida, is something that chachamim put achokas. Now let's, having said this, let's discuss specifics. Okay, the first thing in terms of achokas, we already mentioned that midairaisa, everybody agrees that my sikru legalis erva, that the bia with ishta nida is awesome. The Ramban and the Rambam have a machlekes regarding other forms of intimate behavior. Certainly, things which are derechiba, like chibuk and nishuk and so on, where the Rambam says that that's also part and parcel, that's in the words leisikrevu legalis erva, even things which may lead or bring a person closer to legalis erva, according to the Rambam, is also asim atayrah. According to the Ramban, that's only asim adirabban. Furthermore, I'm just mentioning some things just quickly because we're not going to focus on them a whole lot, but you should just know, certainly as a review, we need to mention them. There is a makom, according to even the Rambam, to be mekel, according to the Shach, in issues of negia, which are not derech chibuk. We spoke just now about chibuk and nishuk. What if it's just regarding touching that is not a touching of derech chibuk at all? So that is a machlokes amongst the poskim. The Shach says that the Rambam would say that that's not asim in HaTorah, and others, the Bach and so on, say that even that, according to the Rambam, would be asim in HaTorah. Bottom line is, not so negeya us at the time, it is very negeya in halacha when it comes to issues of physicians and so on, when they're coming and being negeya in arayas for purposes other than chiba, obviously. There it's very negeya if the issues are midarayas or midrabanim. As it pertains to us, really, there's no difference, because certainly midrabanan, any form of touching, according to the Rambam, we said it might even be dairaisa, according to the Rambam, it's certainly only a drabanan, but regardless, any form of touching, whether the touching is when you're touching derechiba, certainly, but even if it's not derechiba, just being mishamish somebody, or whatever the case may be, is certainly also midrabanan, and from that point on, there are other Yisurim, other Hachakas as well, not to come to be Negeya, and they are as follows. Derech Begadim, touching a man, a husband touching a wife, or a wife touching a husband, that these Halachas would pertain to people other than Ish V'Isha as well. But we're talking specifically about Ish V'Isha, so I'll refer to it as such. Derech Begadim, a husband touching a wife, touching her clothing, is a hachaka, at least in the drabanan, of negiyah be'erv. The Tashbat says that it's also to touch not only the isha derech bigdeha, which would mean you feel her through the clothing, but even if that's not the case, meaning you're just touching the clothing that's upon her, the Tashbat says that even that is aser as well. Means if she was walking by and you wanted to get her attention and you just pulled, she's wearing this big down coat or something, and you just pull on her coat where you're not coming within 6 inches of her even possibly. Nonetheless, the Tashbat says that that's aser, and that is certainly something that's muskim in all shittas. Everybody agrees that that is aser. And the Aruch HaShulchan says furthermore that having now said that you cannot touch her, she cannot touch you, even through clothing, and you cannot even touch the clothing, HaShulchan goes on and says that your clothing may not touch each other. I guess each other's clothing should not be touching. So that means, obviously, the most negeya, the most relevant case with this would be usually a husband and a wife sitting in a car where if you're sitting close enough, so the clothing would be touching each other. Now, under these circumstances, if it's a shas hachak, and so then it's possible to be mekel, that's only right, then you're going on from a chasna, and its clothing will be touching each other, so it's possible to be mekel under a shas hachak circumstances. Now, but two things need to be made very clear here. One of them my father points out in the Sefer, it's obvious, but it needs to be stated nonetheless, that when we're in a car traveling, so often somebody makes a sharp turn or something, and it's not just the clothing that's touching that. Now it's the people that are falling on each other, or certainly could come to touch. So even though we're being mekel le'inyan ashas hadchak of having clothing touch each other, if it's impossible any other way, but that's not to say that if you know that given the roads or the driver or whatever the case may be, that often it's going to happen that you're actually touching her clothing or vice versa, that is something that we're not being mekel in, we're not being mata even b'shas hadchak. The other thing, I think, which is important, is that when we talk to note, when we're saying that it's a kula or it's efshut to be mata clothing touching each other, that doesn't mean when the people that are in the clothing are touching each other, because that goes back to touching through clothing. Touching through clothing doesn't necessarily mean that you're touching somebody like this through the jacket. Touching through clothing could mean that your clothing is touching her guf. Is all, when I say your clothing, I mean it's not your hand, but it's, let's say, the side of your body or your elbow is touching her guf. And for that matter, if your elbow is touching her elbow through clothing, that's called the bodies are touching. And in that we find, the Tashbat says that there's no difference between whether there's clothing on the body or not. That's considered touching. What we are being makelin is just when the clothing, you have a gown, you have a coat, and you're sitting in the back seat, then the clothing is inevitably going to come to touch. That is something, again, assuming that there's no falling, there's no sharp turns, and there's no shot that you're sitting next to each other so closely that you actually feel each other's body between the clothing. That is something which I believe, and that's what's mashma the poskim, that certainly is not within the parameters of the heter that we mentioned. Now, beyond the negiya, the next thing that we come to is hashata. The Mechaber says, and all of these halachas are to be found in Simukuf Tzadikai, in Yerodei Simukuf Tzadikai. So the Mechaber says that you're not able to not only touch directly, but even through means of you stick out a stick, and you're holding one end, and she's going to be holding the other hand, and the other hand is touching her, or vice versa. That is also, that's called hashata. That's one of the hachakas. Now, why that's also is a matter of dispute. The Mechaber himself says because they can come to touch each other, meaning that we're afraid that even though it starts out that you're handing her a cup, let's say, but very often through handing the cup, so your fingers will touch her fingers, that's the reason why you can't extend something and pass something from one person to the other. The Rashba says that the mere, inherently, the act of passing something across leads people, or at least in the case of a husband and wife, as we discussed before, the ishta nida, could lead to a kirv hadas. There's a certain intimacy and closeness that attaches itself to such an action, which some of these things are a little bit, you know, sound a bit difficult to understand. But regardless, usually if you think long and hard enough about any one of these things, you'll find a situation, maybe not, if it's not, you know, maybe passing, you know, a book, but certainly you could conjure up a case of something that's being passed that could be maybe to Kiruv Hadas and Hergul Dov and so on, as the Rashba says. Now, the nafkamina between these two shittas, these two reasons, I should say, is in terms of throwing. That's the next halacha. Hashata is in the Mechaber. The Ramah then says not only is passing something also, but throwing, let's say, a ball, throwing a ball from one to the other. Now, throwing a ball could have other problems because it's something, it's like sort of like schoik and kalus rosh, possibly, which is worse than just throwing. But let's say a very practical thing. Instead of handing it to her, she needs a towel across the kitchen, and so instead of passing it, it's a long distance, so you throw it across the kitchen. So that, the Ramah says, Rika is usher as well. And that would not seem to work according to the Mechaber's reasoning, meaning in the Mechaber's reasoning it would seem to be mutter, and in fact the Mechaber doesn't say it's asa. The Mechaber just says Hashat is asa, because if it's the issue that you might come to touch, you're not going to be touched. The whole idea of throwing is that you're not going to come to be touching. So that's why the Mechaber does not mention that as an issa. Now, I'm not aware, for purposes of Svadim, for us it's not relevant, because the Ramah, regardless, says it is asa. For purposes of Svadim, I meant to investigate whether they have this issa or zrika, whether they go with this Ramah. I'm not sure, so it needs to be asked. But al kopanim, zrika is certainly according to the Ramah, which would make sense according to the Rashba's reasoning, that if there's a kir of hadas and a hergul dava, so he's saying throwing would be no different than actually passing something across. Now, what about zrika, or what about passing al yidei shinui? Hashata, going back to hashata now, which everybody says is asa, what if you do it with your left hand? And we find certain things we know are muta al yidei shinui. Like, for instance, serving food or serving drinks is something which is muta al yidei shinui. If you put it down not right in front of the husband, if she, or vice versa, if the husband doesn't serve, which is just as usa, for a husband to serve the wife in front of her place, you put it down a little bit beyond the person's flesh is a shinui, or serving with the left hand is a shinui. Would that be also mutter in terms of hashata? You're not a question of serving food, but passing something again or throwing something, would a shinui help in that regard? So here there's a machlokes, and again the paiskim are machmin. As far as I know, all the paiskim, all the latter day paiskim, certainly are machmin in this regard. The Bach says that it's also, and the Kubetzes in Ksubis Daf Samach Aleph brings a ritva that says that shinui is mutter in regards to hashata, as it is the same way that it's mutter in regards to serving food. Now my father in the Sefer brings a raya that it would seem that the Ramah also holds like the Bach that al yidei shinui is also as far as passing, just from the mere fact that the Ramah says that throwing is also us. And the Ramah doesn't say that throwing also only is us when it's at large great distances. Throwing could be if I'm here and you're right next to me, any form of throwing is also. Now that would seem to be a shinui. If you're right next to a person and you throw something to them, that itself is really the greatest shinui. Why would you be throwing the towel if you're standing right next to them? Because the Ramah says that any type of zrika, or at least mistimasa, he doesn't say that there's a zrika which is mutter, it would seem even a zrika at close quarters is asa, would suggest that the Ramah holds, like what the Bach is saying, not like the Ritva, that shinui, by hashata, passing something, even derech shinui, which, a case, an example, that would be throwing under some circumstances, would be asa, so it means he holds like the Bach. Now, beyond what we just said, games like tennis and ping pong and so on, which, although I don't always involve the actual throwing, meaning miyad liyad, or it seems from racket to racket has the same din of miyad liyad, but if it bounces, it would not be necessarily a problem. But often, at least in tennis, it's that way. I believe it's that way. I'm not sure if it's that way in ping pong. But you don't have to let it bounce. And so most paiskim say that playing tennis or ping pong is an issa of hashata, or at least zrika, as we're discussing, which is also according to the Ramah, which we paskin like. Now, in addition to which, other paiskim have difficulty with this because it leads to schoik and kalas reish, that one shouldn't be playing ball games with the ishtein either. Certainly something which concerns some of the other paiskim. The Bar Moshe is matter. I saw brought that, I didn't see it inside, so before, if one wants to be knowing that cooler, although again, I did not see it brought in a way that was recommended, it seems that Rav the Paiskim are not matter, but he does say that tennis and ping pong, things like that, would be mutter. I presume it means that it's mutter where it's bouncing, but he may even say that it's mutter maybe where it's not, because the rackets, it's not the hands. I'm not exactly sure. But anyways, according to, I could say, Rav Paiskim, that's something which is frowned upon. Now, because a shinui is asur, so putting something, let's say you have your wife's keys that you want to stick, she has her pocketbook over her shoulder, and you want to put her keys into her pocketbook, that would be considered a form of hashata al yidei shinui. And again, as was the tennis, but we are assuming that shinui is asa. So not only are you not allowed to hand the keys to her in her hand, but since shinui is asa, so you couldn't take the keys and stick it into her pocketbook, which she's holding, would be considered hashata al yidei shinui. L'toich arniki is also asa, it says. What would be mutter, and even we hold that zrika is asa, and even though we hold shinui is asa, but the two of them together, my father says in Bada Shulchan that if you would be Zarek, L'toich Arniki Shalah, if you have her keys, and you want to flip it into her pocketbook, because, again, the Mechaba holds the Zrika B'chlal is Mutter, it's only the Ramah that says it's Asa, and quite possibly, Shinui is also Mutter, according to the Ritva, so if you, and Zrika would be a Shinui, so Mimela, if you would throw it into the pocketbook, that would be something which is Mutter.
Is dropping the same as throwing?
Yeah. Yeah, anytime it's nothing. Okay, now very relevant in this in regards to these halachas is, if only because of the situations that we get into, which are not easily avoidable. Usually most passing situations are things which could be avoided in advance, or certainly b'shas ma'is. Passing a child is something which is the most unavoidable case that often happens, that, let's say, the wife or the husband is holding the baby, and for one reason or another, she can't continue to hold the child because of something else that's going on, or whatever the case may be, or you're going up steps, or whatever the situation is. So often, it's a situation where there's some embarrassment involved if you're not going to pass the child to each other. Now, short of, let's leave the embarrassment issue, the kusha issue, out of the equation for a moment, just passing the child is something which, according to, again, all the Paiskim except the Tashbats, says is mutter, and the reasoning of the Tashbats, he says it's unlike passing a cup or a keys or anything else, because chai naisei es atzmai. And so, therefore, a child is considered to be a naisei es atzmai, so you don't have the issa of hashav. And my father and all other Paiskim that I've seen, of the Svarim, all ask that the Tashbats is obviously Pella, because, even according to the Tashbats, Chai Nozis Atzma is only at a certain age, not where with a very young child is not able to walk, and so on and so forth. But even if we were to assume that it's a child that's able to walk, he reaches out, that he's able to, like, when you're passing him, it's sort of like the child sort of like moves towards the other person, which is not the case by a small infant. But even assuming that we are talking about an older infant or an older child, the reasons would seemingly apply no less by Chai Noises Atzma. I mean, L'inyan Hilcha Shabbos, so there's a problem with carrying, so you say, the Isser is carrying, say Chai Noises Atzma. If the Isser is, you may come to touch each other, what's the fact that Chai Noises Atzma have to do with it? I mean, you're still passing the child, and there's more chance that you're going to touch almost than in anything else. Or, if it's the Isser of that is kir of hadas, by piercing something, the fact that it's chai noses atzma also doesn't really seem to be very much of a machala. Regardless, halacha lemaisa, all the paiskim say that we should not pierce children to each other, certainly not small infants and any other children for that matter. Now, what's with the issue of we get into circumstances, situations where it becomes embarrassing and so on? So, here again, I mean, the Paiskim say that, and this I've heard from my father, just as a general principle. I mean, it's Nagei in a lot of other areas where you have newlyweds or young couples or even older couples there by their in-laws, parents, and so on. And there are situations when things need to be passed around the table, and often the wife will hesitate because she wants to keep the fact that she's a tamei, not public. And either because it's sneers or it's because some feeling of embarrassment. And my father says that, you know, like, what's the worst that can happen? That your in-laws will know that you keep the Torah. I mean, like, you keep Torah mitzvahs. I mean, it's the worst that can happen. It's nothing to be embarrassed of. It's not something that, if it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's something that you're not allowed to do. And, you know, I mean, half of the woman's life for those 20, 30 years are going to consist of those times. And, you know, that's, I don't know that this covers all situations, but regardless, certainly, as a matter of course, unless there are other extenuating reasons to be makel, which I don't think that Tashbats is to be considered one of them, it doesn't seem in the Paiskim, unless there are other extenuating circumstances to be makel, just the mere fact that she hesitates to do something because out of feeling of tznius or embarrassment, in and of itself is not to be a heter, is not a mafti on these halachos. Now, included in the Issa of Aishata, as well, the Chayei Adam says, is both of them pushing or pulling something together, which is not actually not something like being passed, but if let's say they're both holding onto a carriage and wheeling it through the street, is Daime, basically, for all intents and purposes, we consider that Hashata as something being passed from one to the other if they're both doing an action together. Now, both of them could touch something together. They're both sitting by a table, they're obviously often both touching the table. That's not a problem. But to bring force to bear on something at the same time is similar to the Issa Hashata, and that is obviously the problem with a husband and a wife pushing a baby carriage or pulling a baby carriage together.
So
child goes on his own to the other parent. I once thought I heard that.
You're saying it's like basically you're just catching the child. Like if the other one would leave go, if you would leave go, the child would basically just jump and hit the floor.
I'm not sure. I don't know how far it goes.
So anything short of that sounds very much like the Tashbats. It sounds like a Chai Noises Atzma issue. If you're saying it's a case where you're catching the child because he's falling, I would say that's probably Mutter. As long as you're able to control the child's movements, I think you probably should not be done. I hear the Shaila. I can't say I'm 100% sure. So pushing the baby carriage is a problem. Now, what about a husband and a wife walking in the street with a child? So there it depends whether, now we're talking about a child who's walking. Now, is it a child, we already before discussed, holding a child, passing a child who can't walk is a problem. Walking with a child, each one holding a henti and walking down the street, so there it depends if the child is able to walk on their own. If the child is able to walk on their own, then certainly you say chai nois es atzma, you're not pushing the child together, because the child is walking, you may be just directing the child or keeping them safe, but that's certainly not a problem. If the child is not able to walk on their own, so then it would be considered a problem. Now, I think I understand that to mean, even if it's enough that one of you, that the child could walk with one of you, doesn't need both of you, is probably also us, I would imagine, because I didn't see such a distinction made. And in truth, in the Svara, it should be that way, because basically you don't say that there's Breira over here. I mean, which one of you is the one that he needs and which one of you is the one that he doesn't need? Basically, without both of you, he certainly can't walk, and you're both holding his hands. So if he can't walk without help, so then it's assumed to be us. Now, what if a parent is holding a child and the other one wants to fuss with the child? Let's say the mother is holding the child and you want to give the child a kiss. The husband wants to give the child a kiss. So this, the Paiskim say, this is not an issa of Heshata per se. This gets into issues of inyanim of schaik and kalas roish and chiba and things like that, that there's a certain intimacy and closeness when you're kissing things that are in the other one's hand. And that includes not only kissing, but just fussing over the child as well. Now, the exception to that would be, Paiskim say, where it's a davar nachutz, like for instance, the child is walking the street, let's say the wife is holding the child, the hat falls off, and it's on the ground, and she's not going to be able to pick it up, and you're there, or there's a pacifier, the child is screaming, you need to put the pacifier into the mouth. So if the husband or the wife is holding the child, the other one is able to fuss with the child. If it's a davar nachutz, if there's no one else who can do it, probably without embarrassment, I mean, there I would say that the Shas HaTchak would include a case where you have to call over Yankel to put the pacifier in the mouth. But under ordinary circumstances, unless there's a tzayrich, you should not fuss with a child that's in the other one's hand. Okay, the next area of halacha. You both
to give her medicine. So like, she's
giving
medicine, and
you want to hold down her hand. Yeah. As long as I would say the child's not in the province of one of them, really primarily in the province of one of them, so then if they're both touching, so again, it's like touching two people touching a table at once. Now there's an Isser. We're going to go off now to separate next topic, which is sitting together on a safsal, on a bench, that is a bench that you both want to sit on together. So if the bench moves when you sit on it, one of you is sitting on it and the other one's going to sit down, it's going to move on and off and so on. So that's something that is awesome. Now, Rav Moshe has a chiddush in this regard, which has is very relevant regarding driving in a car. Driving in a car under ordinary circumstances, we're going to see in a moment, is not, when I say ordinary circumstances, I mean for reasons letzayrich. You're going to the store, you're going for business, you're going shopping, whatever, that's things that are letzayrich. So that's not a problem even sitting on on a bench together, because it was just like almost Chazal saw that that's something which is an impossible situation. To ride in an agola, generally you're on the same seat. But let's say you're going for a tiyul. Let's say they're going for purposes of enjoyment and so on. So over there, you do have the problem, even in a car, of riding together on a seat. But Rav Moshe says that if it's a seat or a bench, which is kavua, in a way that it's like it's attached to something very heavy, or it's braced against something which is mechubal lekarka, so on. So Rav Moshe says, even if it moves, it's not a problem. Something like that, like a park bench, even if it was going to move, because it's either made out of concrete, or it's attached to something, or for that matter, Rav Moshe specifically says, going in a car, which is, the bench is attached to the car, so even though it's one long seat, and she'll go in, you're in there, and the seat is going to be moving, which is a problem because you come to be maharer about each other. Some place can say, other place can say, the problem is it's like touching, it's like being negeya, because you're moving the other person in a sense. But regardless, Rav Moshe says that when the seat is attached to something, which is, it's bolted down, or it's something which is very heavy, he says, like a car, then even though they're on the same seat and the seat is moving, Rav Moshe says, that is not a problem. Now, most, or I think a lot of other Paiskim, one could be Saimach on Rav Moshe in this, but just to bear in mind that we are possible, certainly it's right to be Machmi in this situation, because it's, as you can tell, it seems to be a novel Chiddush in Rav Moshe. Nobody else, none of the other Paiskim say this. It seems that it depends solely upon whether the bench moves. The fact that it's bolted down in a way that it's kavua to something, if it's still moving like a car, then most Paiskim say that it's a problem. Which, of course, would lead to issues, again, driving in a car for purposes of tiyul. And tainu, if you're going on a trip together. So what would be a way of avoiding isunim there? So the most obvious way is to buy a car with bucket seats. I mean, that's certainly, and a lot of Paiskim actually recommend that you actually need to do that, because short of that, b'mei nidusa, if you're sitting on a bench, assuming that it moves, if it doesn't move when the car is very heavy, she's going to sit down, she's light, the car's heavy, whatever the case may be, if it's not moving, it's never a problem. But assuming that it will move, then you have basically two options. Either you could be simuch on Rav Moshe, you could be sitting on a bench, and then, of course, only in a way, like we discussed before, that you're not close together, that the begodim are touching, or that when the car takes a sharp turn, that you'll be touching each other. You could be saimich, possibly either under Moshe's kula there, or preferably, one of the things to think about before you buy a car, most cars today obviously are, I think, actually are made that way. You know, vans maybe aren't, but for the most part, you can avoid that by having separate seats. Now, as far as going, let's say, in rowboats, which is certainly something, or motorboats for that matter, which is something which is certainly derech tainug, and for purposes of a tiyul, so that would seem to be something which is certainly also bimei nidusa. And the way of being matter that, although it's not certainly sort of defeats the purpose to some degree, is if you have adam acha beinayim, if you have an adam acha beinayim, it says that you could sit on a couch next to each other. The Rama says, even if it's moving, if there's a third party who's sitting in between. Now, if it's not an adam acha beinayim, but let's say it's a teva, some sort of a box, or something like that, hashtis, I mean, the Paiskim say very clearly, the Rama says, adam acha beinayim, the Paiskim say it would seem that only another person, probably because he can keep an eye on them. It's not just the mechitza, but there's somebody there who's separating the kir of hadas and so on. I have seen that there are posting that are marked that if you have a large enough suitcase or something like that, they don't give dimensions, but if you have a suitcase or maybe a picnic basket, right, that's large enough, so possibly, you know, there could be room to be matter in those cases. So check that out.
Does the merchant matter the boat situation also?
The merchant does not matter the boat, because the boat is not... doesn't consider it something, I guess, which is
heavy enough.
Yeah, I guess if it's a big enough, obviously it's like a ferry boat or something like, or a large, you know, yacht or something like that. So the chayyim, the boat, yeah. So the chayyim, that would be
so
awesome.
You have to buy a yacht.
So much for the bakery.
Yeah. Where does the other person matter? The whole idea of here is even a couple hours later, another person matters. So someone in your house and you're at the dinner table. So
yeah, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess what I mean to say is that it doesn't the same thoughts don't come to mind when there's somebody else there, even b'shas ma'isa. When I say keeping an eye, I didn't mean to say that nothing should happen at the time, but it just engenders the entire climate. The atmosphere is different when you have somebody else sitting. It's not just a mechitza, a separation, but the fact that three is company is a distinguishing feature. Excuse me. I'm not sure. I do know that in regards to sleeping on a bed, laying on a bed together, so over there it says that if somebody's in between, a husband and wife obviously can't be laying on the same bed together, but it says if somebody else is sitting or laying in between, they shouldn't sit on the same bed together either. But if somebody else is sitting or laying in between, it says it's mutter. Over there, in that regard, it says that a tinnik does not qualify for that. So that's the closest that I came across. So I don't know. Regards these halachas, often they're different. You have to really go back and look at the reasons and so on and so forth, the sources. But in regards to being on the same bed, which is obviously very relevant, a lot more relevant than having a grown-up between you, but often you'll have an infant, a child there. So it doesn't say the share of a child either. Obviously, at some point, one could argue that, say, an 8-year-old child sleeping on the bed between the husband and the wife would be, again, assuming that the bed's not moving and so on and so forth. We're not talking about those issues. We're just talking about being b'mita echad. So it says if the adam ach and machzik b'neim is okay, it says a tinnik does not qualify. At what point does a tinnik become a grown-up is not so clear over there as well. But I don't know with regards to this what the halacha would be.
Like Moses put him in a basket.
Okay, let's go back. We'll have more questions afterwards. I just want to... Now, as far as a bus or an airplane or any of these conveyances, I mean, obviously that would be something which is, generally speaking, it's not a bench, they're separate seats. And even if they would be, it's probably a shasat chak. And if you put a hefsek between the people, there I would certainly say that if you put something on the seat between the people, you could certainly be Saimach and Reb Moshe. Under those circumstances, Reb Moshe again says anything heavy that has a seat bolted down to it would be mutter, so even if we're not going to be saimach on that in the car, like when I'm going on a bus or an airplane, you have no choice. So there, certainly, you could be saimach, even if it's airplanes, always, I think, separate seats. But on a bus, even if there's a bench, so there, certainly you could be mekel on what Rav Moshe is saying. And if you still feel uncomfortable, so you could put something in between. Okay, now as far as laying on a... on a bed, being on the same bed, so it says that you're not allowed to lay or to sit together on the same bed, and that even assuming the bed is not moving, here we're not talking about the movement of the bed, just the mere fact that they're on one bed together, and this is even includes situations where both the husband and the wife are fully clothed, and even if they're on two separate mattresses, but it's one bed, it's clearly sold and intended as one bed, but like today they have, what's it called? They advertise you have soft on one side and firm on the other side. So that's essentially, I think, the way they have two separate mattresses, obviously. Still in all, that would be considered mita achas le'inyan these halachas. And like we mentioned before, a person, anybody being in between them, if it's not a tinnik, would be permissible. Now, as an outgrowth of this dinner, achaka is that not only sitting on the same bed, but two beds next to each other, adjacent to each other, in any way, shape, or form, certainly if they're next to each other, even the tzir and the shulchan aruch is where the feet and the head are next to each other, the feet of one to the head of the other, or it's an L shape, in any way, shape, or form, when they're actually touching, two beds which are touching, are also for the husband to be on one and the wife to be on the other. Now the Chazon Ish says that, and it's rather obvious, I think, but nonetheless, the Chazon Ish, it's good to know, the Chazon Ish says that does not mean that you can't be on your bed if she's not on her bed, just because they could be touching as long as you're both not on the beds at the same time. So even if they're touching, you're sleeping on your bed, she's not able to go on her bed until you get off the bed. Otherwise, it would be mutter. Now, in terms of a bunk bed, with a husband or a wife, one on the top and one on the bottom, so my father in Badei Shulchan has a shaila regarding this. In terms of actually this specific din, regarding being on beds which are touching, he leans towards saying that it's mutter, because over here the point, the kir of hadas and so on, it's not nira kemita achas, it doesn't look like one bed. The whole problem with two beds touching is because it looks like one bed. Bunk beds don't look like one bed, they're obviously separate. On the other hand, there could be a problem, he says, because they're moving. And usually bunk beds, so you have the couch, you have the old couch problem, that you can't both be in a situation where if you're moving, she's going to be moving. Like we spoke before about the car or being on a couch together, where if you move on top, that will move her on the bottom. So possibly that would be similar to a couch situation. On the other hand, he says, maybe there's no kir of hadas under those. It depends whether the isser over there is because it's like you're touching each other or whatever else the reason may be. Al-Kulpanim, bottom line is, he blives by Tzarchiyim. He's not sure, he's uncertain about a case of bunk beds. Now, what about two beds that are attached with a headboard? So two beds that are attached, even if they're not touching. If they're touching, so it's obviously a problem regardless. Even if they're not touching, they're the requisite distance, which we'll get to in a minute, from each other. But if they're attached by a headboard, again, it's considered near kamita achas. So either you want to detach it, bimei nidusa, or you want to just leave it up against the wall. Either way, that would be mutter, but not if it's attached, bimei nidusa. Just a moment. And as far as the distance between the beds, so the Pesachei Tshuva is medayik, and that's what it would appear from the Ramah, at face value, just says that they can't be touching. But all the Paiskim recommend, certainly, and one should be nizer, that without getting into specific shiurim, which they are, and there's a shiur of the Belzer Rebbe, it says that a foot and a half, I think, is the shiur, which basically, I guess, is an amma, which is obviously a large shiur, but the rule of thumb, so to speak, that's given in the Paiskim, is that when she's on the bed in the middle of the night and moving around, she should not come to touch her husband who's on the bed nearby, or vice versa. So that could be depends to some degree on sleep behavior and so on. I mean, some people really move around and thrash around a lot, others don't. In theory, if it's a person who really thrashes around a lot, then the hand is probably more than an arm and a half. And so, this angle of a safe almost. So you really need to take all this into consideration, I think, depending on the custom and on the behavior, the way that they're sleeping in the bed. So again, that as long as they're not touching, it's okay. And it could be that he's just saying that because he's talking specifically about the halacha of being near a kemita achas. And in that regard, we're saying as long as they're separated, they're fine. But you still can't be in a situation that you're going to come to touch your wife. That's just in the larger, more general halachas of hachakis, you shouldn't, like hashata fence, is that you don't pass things, your hachabas, because you may come to touch. So if you're going to come to touch you, even though maybe one could argue it's during while she's sleeping, it could be she's not a mechayev mitzvah when she's sleeping, but al kolponim, he's a svarala. Halacha l'maaseh, it says in the Paiskim, you should be nizer to be far enough away from each other that you're not going to come to touch each other during the course of the sleep. Now, similarly, or as an outgrowth of this halacha, there's also an issa harchoka that a husband cannot sit on his wife's, or certainly sleep, or lay down on his wife's bed. And that's even so when she's not even in the presence of the wife. Now, we're talking specifically now about a husband on a wife's bed. We'll speak in a moment about a wife on a husband's bed is more kal. Here, it's more the issue of the husband comingly daharigal dava, which is usually initiated al yidei the husband. So there's a greater issa for the husband to either lay, sleep, or even sit on his wife's bed, and even in not in her presence. Now, the exception to this would be, before we say the exception, this would include even situations where the wife is out of the house and maybe even away for the night. Unless an exception, the Pesach can say, would be if she's away for an extended period of time. And again, there are no shiurim given in this, no specific amount of days in this regard. I guess you just have to ask somebody when it's negeh lemaisa. It depends probably on the entire situation. But if she's away for a number of days, she goes out of town for 2-3 days, and certainly the fact that she's out of town probably would make it more mutter as well, then the husband is able to be on, to sit or to sleep on the wife's bed. But short of that, if she's away for a night, certainly it's mashma the poskim, especially if she's not out of town, she's just away, she's out, she's going to be away overnight, one should not be on the wife's bed. Now, the most relevant case, but very often this happens in a hospital, hopefully for good reasons. And the wife is in the hospital, and let's say she walks out of the room for a moment, there aren't that many chairs, and what chairs there are full of stuffed animals and whatever else. So the husband could come to sit down on the bed, first of all, not thinking that it's his wife's bed, and it is, because if it's her bed for that day or for those 2 days, and again, even if she walks out of the room, it's shaloi b'funav, it has everything militating in the direction that you would think it would be mutter. It's in the hospital, she's a chayla, and she's out of the room, and it's not her bed. And really, that's the case that we're discussing over here. That's something which the Pesach can say is usur, even to sit. We're not talking about to lie down on the bed, but even to sit would be something which is usur. Now, as regards the opposite situation, as far as the wife on the husband's bed, so over there it says that she's only not allowed to lay down. But she's able to sit, and this that she's able to sit is even in his presence, she's able to sit on his bed. Again, because the wife is not the one who generally will initiate, not considered in halacha to initiate the hergel dava, so memeila, for her to sit on her husband's bed, even in his presence, is mutter, and for him to sit on her bed, even in her absence, is us, and certainly not to lay on her bed. Now, they could switch beds as far as this is concerned, but not bimei nidusa. Once bimei nidusa, once she's raya dam, or whatever the case of nidusa is, if she was a yerledes, whatever the situation is, so it becomes kavua. If this is her bed, that's the bed that you have to deal with. Bimei tarasa, you're able then to take the opportunity, if you wanted it, for whatever reason, to switch beds, so then you would able to switch beds. Now, as regards the beds, Paiskim say that the determining factor of the beds is the actual bed, not the placement thereof. So, take the bed and you move it, it's because, I guess, the hearer, and so on, that's the cause, it's causing the problem over here. The issa is something which is connected to the actual bed. So the fact that you're going to take his and put it where hers was and vice versa, that's not going to solve the problem. As long as it will allow you to go on the other side of the room if it's your bed. But you cannot go onto her bed just by moving it to a different place. If it's her bed, it's always going to be us. Now, as far as going away, in terms of being guests, if you're often, let's say, by in-laws or by parents, and when you're there, she, for one reason or another, chooses to sleep usually in one place and you sleep in the other place, and you're there often, so then that, for purposes of these halachas, that becomes her bed and your bed, and it would be usur to, as we discussed before, to be on the other one's bed. If you're going to a hotel, and so you're not there often, even if you go there once a year, whatever it is, but you can't say that this is your room or this is the room that they set up for you and you always stay in one place. Normal situation, you go to a hotel, she flops down on one bed, so until she takes a nap or you take a nap in one of the two beds, it's not considered to be either yours or hers. If you all tuck it out, you always scheme out it and lie down, even if for 20 minutes you take a nap on the bed, that's the place to say that's now considered to be your bed. Now, It's also for a husband or a wife to be misader the beds of the other one. And this is also dafke bifanav of the other person, meaning the wife cannot make the bed bifnei the husband and vice versa. And there's a machlokes over here if a shinui would help. If she wanted to make the bed in the husband's presence, so already we saw that for some things we mentioned shinui is good. For other things we weren't sure. For passing wine, shinui is serving wine, shinui is good. For purposes of hashata, is a machlokes whether shinui. So here there's also as well a machlokes whether she would be able to make the bed with her left hand or something in his presence. Yesh lahachmi, in these cases, the Paiskim say, to be machmi. At the same time, it is mutter for her to do things which are not derechiba. Derechiba includes the actual turning up or down of the bed itself, changing maybe the sheet, but anything like putting on a bedspread, which is, you know, just to make the house look nice, or changing the mattresses, or doing something, you know, changing maybe some of the bedding underneath, or whatever the stuff that hangs over the sides, the dust, what is it called, dust ruffles. These kind of things, it's more of an avoida rather than something which is derechiba, that is permitted. Now, let's say you go to, you're in a place where, again, it was not clear which one of the beds is yours and which is your wife's. So let's say you go to a hotel, usually it's like, yeah, the beds are made, and by the time they're unmade, you already know which is yours and which is hers. But assuming whatever the case is, so over there, some Paiskim Amatir, they say that she could make both beds before either one of them becomes necessarily the husband, or the husband can make both before it becomes the wife. But the thinking being that even though one could say that the Manushach, one of them is going to be his, just he's making his bed, but those Paiskim say that since it's not clear which is which at the time, so Mimela, it's okay. And the same thing they say in regards to piercing wine, which I see we're not going to have time to cover now, so I may as well mention it now. Piercing wine, cases of wine, if you pour out 10 cups of wine or 5 cups of wine, and one of them, the manushah, is going to be for your wife, those same Paiskim say that it would not be considered an issa of shiluach yayin, sending wine to pouring wine and or sending wine to your wife, because it's not yet clear which is which. My father in the Sefer is mistapik. He's uncertain about this svara. He goes more with the Mimonoshech svara. And the Eitzah that is suggested is that she can make the first bet, which is not yet awesome. And after she makes the first bet, she could say, this was your bet, and now I can make my bet in front of you. So that's a way of avoiding these halachas. This would be usher as well, importantly, b'leil tfilasa, even though that by the time they're going to be using, he'll be sleeping on the bed, she will already have become tahar, but it goes according to the time that the beds are being made. So on the seventh day of the Zayin Nekiyim, before nightfall, before, and even after nightfall, before she goes, before she becomes tahar, she should not make the bed, even though it will be b'shas taharas. I think we have another minute, so I wanted to cover the Kiddush, which I see I'm not going to get to. I'm actually pretty impressed that I did even got this far. But there's a number of things that, well, I should say, in terms of the Kiddush, is basically one or two things very quickly, very briefly, that you can do without going into all the various issues. There's one issue of serving, pouring, and or serving. There's another issue of sending wine, which is dafka on the husband. Sending meaning even al yidei shliach, even if it's not the faneha, would be a muhammadic issa of sending wine. Kiddush involves both of them. So now, first of all, before the kiddush, she has an issa of serving wine. So what she should not do is when the cup is before the husband, she should not come over and pour the wine into the cup, because that's basically mezigas hakais and serving at the same time, hagasha, meziga and hagasha at one and the same time. That is for sure something which is asa. Now, if he sees that it's happening, what he can do is he can turn around, and if it's being done, shalai b'fanav, it's something which is mutter. Also, what she's able to do is she's able to pour it someplace not exactly before him, or with her left hand, al yidei shinui, that takes care of the pouring problem and the serving problem. What it doesn't take care of is what now we come to the giving out of the wine, which involves not only serving and pouring, but it involves sending wine, which is on the husband, is something which is also to do to his wife. For that, shinui most probably or very possibly doesn't help. So here it becomes a very sticky situation with the giving out of the wine. So basically, if you're sitting next to her, so the suggestion that the place can give people that are sitting next to each other, so it doesn't involve passing it to her, so you could just drink the wine out of the kais, put it down, and she'll take it, that would certainly be mutter. According to the Prisha, but the Ivitz argues on it, if he drinks from the kais, the same kais that she's drinking from, either he can even then pass it, but he would have to do it al-yidei shinui, with his left hand, but then it's not a problem of sending wine, only when it's exclusively a separate kais of hers. If he drinks the wine and the same wine, she's going to the same cup she'll be drinking from, he could then even pass it, put it in front of her, I mean, put it near her while Yedei Hashini with the left hand. That's according to the Prisha. Again, the Yavetz disagrees with that, and we are Machme, we are at least Choshish for the Yavetz Hashita. So the other thing that many people do is that you just pass the entire kais over to the wife, and this is why it's done, I believe, and then she'll pour out, so no, the passing is not for her, the passing, and not just for you and her, it's for the entire table. And so over there, if she pours out the kaises and takes a little bit for herself, that is something that's another way of avoiding that issue. Now, just a couple of other things that very negeh lemaise, especially for the new fathers amongst us, or the new once again, if there's been some separation there in between from the last children, the it's also for the wife to be to reveal any part of her body which is normally mechusa in front of her husband. Now, literally, the issa is histaklus, which means gazing. Now, gazing is more than just happening to glance and to notice. Again, literally. But the Pais can say, nevertheless, since the difference between histaklus and ri'ya is a very subtle difference, so, and it's not entirely clear that it's only histaklus, although that is the lashon literally that's used in the Mechaba, so the Pais can say that even just to happen to glance and to see, very negeya in terms of nursing and in terms of nightgowns, which are sheer nightgowns, would be also mechlal this isser as well. It wouldn't have to be unclothed entirely, but anything where you could see mekaymis that are normally mechusa would be a problem. Now, in terms of here, that's uncovered. So Rav Moshe says that if a woman generally does not cover her hair in the house, of course she does when she's outside the house, but if she doesn't when she's in the house, which is something which is not necessarily, which is something which is not the recommended practice, the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha and Siman Ayin Hei says that it shouldn't be done. It certainly raises issues regarding saying Kriya Shema and davening and brachos and so on and so forth. But in terms of histaklus, if it's something which he's used to seeing, so then it's something which would be able to he'd be able to look at bimei nidusa as well. She is able to put on perfume and to put on the nice clothing to be attractive bi'eis nidusa. Although in halacha it says that she's supposed to wear separate or at least one garment different bimei nidusa, but this is something that for one reason or another is something that we're not machped on. The place can say bizman hazeh. So, but at the same time, they say she certainly should not put on yaisa midai perfume in a way, or attractive dresses in a way that would be machshul him in things that he shouldn't be thinking and doing. That is very negeya on the way to chasnis and so on. B'meni dusa, she should not. She should go easy on the perfume and so on and so forth. But other than that, we hold. Like the Shitas, the Tanoim that say that she's able to be miskashered to Ace Nidusa. And if we get a chance, Mirz Hashem will be mamshech another time in a few areas that we missed.